And there's Josh. All right. Josh, can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. We have given the people, the folks who have joined us, recording privileges on here. And they know that after your questions, I'll be able to take, or after your statement, I'll be able to take a limited number of questions. So we'll go ahead and let you get started, and then I'll help moderate after that.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us on such short notice. It's a hard day. It's a day that certainly none of us associated with the football program here at the University of Illinois had hoped would come, but I do believe it's a day that's necessary if we are to realize what I believe to be the full championship potential of the football program here with the Fighting Illini. I want to begin by thanking Lovey, his wife Marianne. I said it in a tweet that I sent out a little while ago, but he is truly one of the most impressive people that I've ever been around. And it has been an absolute pleasure for me to have the chance to work side by side with him for these last 5 years. I was thinking back with my wife last night, reminiscing on some of our experiences with Lovey, with Marianne, and doing the same with our staff this morning. It has really been a special journey here for these last 5 years, and I'll have a lot of memories that I'll take away from that will be cherished for me and for those close to us for a very long time. You know, I think that when we brought Lovey on board 5 years ago, we had a lot of needs as an athletic program, as a football program. And I think that we needed a steady hand. We needed an experienced voice. We needed someone who would bring credibility and respect to the program. I don't think we need to go back and relive where the program was sitting at that moment in time. Certainly you all can do that on your own. But we all do remember that those things were critical at that juncture. We were taking on some water, and we needed somebody to help us steady the ship. And we had a lot of objectives, as you would imagine, during these first years of my tenure, of Lovey's tenure. And we accomplished a lot of those. Did we win enough games? Absolutely not. And certainly Lovey would be the first to admit that, and there's no other way to look at that. But I do feel strongly that we're much better positioned today to go out and attract the next football coach than we were 5 years ago. Our headcount has expanded associated with the football program. We have a football department, if you will, now that rivals our peers across the country. We've invested more resources into our staffing in terms of compensation in the marketplace. We certainly have improved our facilities thanks to our many wonderful donors who stepped forward to the tune of north of $30 million now with the unveiling a year ago of the Henry Dale and Betty Smith Football Center. We've expanded our indoor facility. We've improved our academic space. Our dining access is better than it's ever been. We're in a better place from a physical infrastructure perspective around football than we ever have. I think the talent on our team is stronger than it's been in some time. I think that we've enhanced expectations. People, I think, and rightly so, have elevated what they expect from our program, certainly following last season. And I think that we're at a place now as a university where we have stable, experienced, steady, and aligned leadership. And certainly alignment is a term that you hear thrown around a lot in college athletics. I think from our board to our president, to our
champ, there's no levels
now, to the athletic director. I feel like we're in a good place to support a high-level football program, and I know that will resonate with candidates as we move out into the marketplace. But at the end of the day, we weren't able to win enough games. We're just never able to quite get over the hump, despite the best efforts of everybody who spends all day, every day, toiling at it in that building. And I think a lot of people don't realize the effort that goes into trying to go out each and every fall Saturday and win those games. And in that football department, we have 35 to 40 people who are working 80 to 100 hour weeks. We've got 100 plus student athletes, and they are spending almost every waking hour working to advance Illinois football. And in this case, and we're all competitors. We all know there's a scoreboard, and we all accept the fact that when you sign on the dotted line for these opportunities, there are certain expectations that come with them. And we weren't able to do that. And unfortunately, there are certainly consequences in that. In terms of the timing of the decision, made the decision during the week following the Iowa game. And I can't point to a single game, a single loss. There was no turning point for me. I think it was an accumulation of observations and data points that I've gathered over these last number of years. Really haven't been, especially in this pandemic year, was never about the number of wins or losses. For me, it was about our competitiveness. It was about the way that we won or the way that we lost, trying to always look past the scoreboard and see what's happening within the program and if it gave me optimism and hope about the future or if ultimately we felt like a change was needed. The pandemic, I think, certainly is something that has to be mentioned. It's been obviously a major component of all of our lives now for the last 9+ months. And that was something that I had to wrestle with emotionally. How do you evaluate a football program in the middle of a global pandemic? How do you look at what happened in the Purdue game, for example, when we lose a dozen key players literally 24 hours before kickoff? How do you evaluate that performance? Or the next week when we're still missing a bunch of key guys and we're out there with our fourth string quarterback? Those are hard evaluations to make, and you have to work through it. And I think ultimately, for me, I had to come to grips with the fact that the pandemic is unfair, right? It is inherently unfair. And that said, it didn't change or alter the fact that I had to make an evaluation. I had to, again, try and look deeper. I had to look under the hood and understand what was contributing to those performances. And it wasn't about necessarily the score on the board when the numbers hit zero as much as it was how we were playing and why I felt we were playing that way. We did, I think this is important to mention, in constructing Lovie's contract, we had always imagined that this would be an important year. And candidly, when we put it together that way, we thought that we'd be making a different decision this year. We've known for some time the senior class that we had coming into this season. We knew what the schedule looked like. And certainly after last year, we had great optimism about what the 2020 football season would be for the Fighting Illini. The pandemic threw all that into disarray, but we were well positioned to really come to a fork in the road and have to make a decision. Do we want to re-up with this group, with Coach Smith at the helm and the rest of the staff with him, to the tune of millions of dollars into the future? Or do we think that we need to get out? And I think I've said to this group in different settings before, as the athletic director, I always feel like my obligation to our coaches, I'm going to be all in until I can't be, and then I'm going to get out. I owe that to them, right? If they're here and they're our head coach, they deserve my full support. They deserve every opportunity to be successful. And I'm going to put every ounce of energy and weight and resources that I have at my disposal behind them to make that possible. And given that fork in the road with this staff, I didn't see a way forward to do that. There was no half step. There was no half measure that I felt would be appropriate that would still put them in a position to be as successful as possible. They needed my full backing, and I didn't feel like I could do that. And so it was time to get out. In terms of what that looks like on the financial side, our payout, which is the term that we use in a situation like this with Lovie, will be somewhere around $2.3 million. We'll owe him $2 million effective at the end of this contract year, which is February 1, I should say. And then we'll pay him from now until that point. So right about $2.3 million that will be subject to any mitigation in case he should happen to go out and get new employment. But relative to the marketplace, we feel good about that. It's a big number. Obviously, anytime a number ends with a million, you're talking big numbers, even in a program with a $115 million budget. I think that those of you who study this realize that number, compared to what we're seeing some of the other coaching changes incur across the country, is relatively low. In fact, I think by most measures, Lovie's payout is perhaps the lowest in the country. And so in that respect, I think we're well positioned to absorb that. And again, I think that was one of the drivers from a timing perspective was if we were to push in with this staff, we may end up in the same place in a year or 2 years, and our financial obligation at that point could have been exponentially bigger. And that just wasn't something that I was prepared to do. Decided that today was the right day to do it. Felt like for a number of different reasons, obviously we're existing in a very competitive marketplace. And as those of you who are watching or are seeing, there's a lot of changes happening across the country. We need to be prepared to position ourselves amongst our peers. And we have to be prepared to move fast. And if we waited another week, I was concerned that we wouldn't be where we needed to be relative to the rest of the marketplace. You do have the impending holiday, obviously, creates some challenge to connect with people and get business done. Signing day this week was a thought. I thought it was we needed to be fair to the recruits who have committed to us, make sure that they're aware that a change is coming, even if we're not able to tell them what waits on the other side of that change. And so we decided that, and then the last thing is once you know, and as I said, reach this conclusion at some point over the last 7 days here, in my mind, once you know, there's not a lot to be gained from continuing to drag that along. And so I wanted to make the move as quickly as we reasonably thought we could. Did meet with Coach this morning, delivered the news in person to him. I'll keep most of that conversation to myself. Needless to say, he was class all the way. As I think those of you who have had a chance to spend some time with him over these last 5 years know, he's a pro. He is an absolute professional. He's disappointed. I certainly have enjoyed the relationship, the friendship that I've had with him over these last 5 years. And it's my sincere hope that that's something that he and I can continue after the dust settles from today's discussion. We then worked through a series of discussions with our assistant coaches, our support staff, of course, our student athletes. The meeting with the team is always challenging. Lots of emotions, obviously, they're connected to this group. They feel strongly about who they are, and everyone likes the known. Everybody likes the status quo. I really very much appreciate their commitment to this university, to each other. I challenge them that during these leadership transitions, and I've seen this play out time and again during my 11 years now as an athletic director, this is when team leadership has to step forward. The leaders within that locker room have to rise up and bring people together, keep people unified, keep them focused on the future. In this case, prepare them to play a good Penn State team in a week. And I just am incredibly grateful to that room. Obviously, I wear a lot of different hats when I talk to the football team. I speak to them as the athletic director. I speak to them as an alumnus of this university. And perhaps in that setting, most importantly, I speak to them as a fellow Fighting Illini football player. And they know how I care about them. And I very much appreciate the trust that they have in me. They know that they have a direct line of communication to me, to talk with me, to share concerns. And certainly I look forward to visiting with them again, hopefully soon, with news of who their new head football coach will be. And again, appreciate very much the trust that they've shown in me in allowing me to move this program forward in the way that I think is most appropriate. Rod Smith will be the acting head coach. Jimmy Lindsay will call the defense. Really grateful to our entire staff in the Smith Center. Coach Smith is obviously at the forefront and is the topic of much of the discussion today, but there are somewhere around 35 staff members who are tied directly to him over in that football building. And we'll see how these next few weeks play out. The new head football coach will have the opportunity to visit with each of them individually and make decisions about what that staff will look like going forward. But I think we've all been around this business long enough to know that many of them will not return. And nonetheless, I sat with them today and asked them to continue to work, to do their best to help prepare this team to go out and play against Penn State this weekend. And that's hard. It's hard. Those of us who've been around this for a while know how difficult that environment is. And I'm really indebted to those people for being so professional and for continuing to represent this university and to advocate on behalf of these student athletes the way that they are. In terms of the search, I'll touch briefly on that and then wrap up and answer your questions. Those of you who have been around this program for a while know that we'll move quickly, confidentially. I think those are two characteristics of almost any successful search. I really believe that this is one of the premier vacancies in college football this year. I think we've got an unbelievable opportunity here at the University of Illinois. Our potential for this football program, for a long list of reasons, is just waiting below the surface. And I think we have to find the right leader to tap into that. It was one of the messages I gave to the team. I think that they have gone a long way towards making this such a special opportunity. The young men sitting in that room, the commitment that they've made, the sacrifices that they've shown. We have made strides over these last 5 years. And because of that, I think this is a much more attractive opportunity than certainly it was a few years back. And I think more attractive than a lot of people realize. We will not use a search firm. It's not something that we have done here historically. Don't intend to deviate from that, at least as I sit here today. Can't give you a firm timetable. Again, we'll move as quickly as we can. I don't believe in having these seats vacant for long. I think the uncertainty it creates a lot of challenge for the program. And so we want to make sure we return it to a point of stability as quickly as possible. So again, to wrap up, just cannot thank Lovie Smith, his wonderful wife, Mary Ann, for their incredible leadership over these last 5 years, their commitment to this university and all the good things that they've done for Illinois athletics and Fighting Illini football. I'm thankful to our coaches and our staff who are in the Smith Center, who continue to work on behalf of our student athletes. And last but certainly not least, thankful to our team for their trust in me, for the hard work that they continue to put forward on behalf of this football program and this university, and excited about what the future holds. It's a hard day, but we'll turn the page today and look forward to a brighter future starting immediately. So thanks very much, and I'll pause there and answer your questions.
Okay, we'll start off with Bob Ostmus, and Jeremy, you're on deck, and Colin in the hole. Go ahead, Bob.
Josh, the state high school coaches this week at a clinic that Illinois was not a part of, they were asked to be a part of it. How important was that in your decision, the lack of connection between Lovie Smith staff and the high school coaches in the state?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that this single event was impactful on the decision. I do think certainly that recruiting was an area of concern as I studied the program. I do think we have an opportunity to build stronger connections with the state high school coaches, and that's something that will be important to us as we move forward.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Jeremy, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. What do you think your program needs most in a head coach right now? And did you learn anything from, you know, the last couple of searches you've had with Brad and with Lovie?
I think absolutely. We're always learning things. I think that we have a good plan in place to identify the next person. I probably won't reveal too many details. I don't want to give you our game plan, so to speak, but we've studied this extensively. We've given a great deal of thought to where our program is, what we think is necessary to move it forward. I think that there is a short but exciting list of viable candidates, and we'll work actively here over the next several days to engage with them and get a sense of whether there's a mutual connection. I think in general, I would just go back to the opportunity more than what we're looking for. I really think this is a great place, wonderful people. And I think the Illinois football program at this point is truly primed for success. And I think we're at a point where with the right leadership, with the right energy, we can see this program accelerate forward in leaps and bounds, and excited to talk with some people about what that vision could look like.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, Colin, you're up, and then Joey, and then we'll have Shan and Ryan in the hole. Go ahead, Colin.
Josh, I know you mentioned briefly the recruiting side of things, specifically the signing day coming up here, the early signing period. With that period right around the corner, does that enhance the timeline for you or make you feel compelled, I guess, to speed that up in any way just to get somebody in place more quickly as these early signings are coming across?
Yes and no. I think certainly, you know, despite our best efforts, I doubt we're going to have somebody in place by Wednesday. I think that certainly the recruiting period is important. But what's really important is we get the right person, that we attract the right coach. If all those roads are able to cross at the right moment and we're able to get somebody in place in a time frame that allows that person to have some interaction with our recruits during this signing period, so be it. If that doesn't happen, then it's more important that we take the time needed to get the right person here as our head football coach, and we'll give it the time that's required. So it's always a consideration, but these are long-term decisions, multi-million-dollar decisions, and we're not going to rush into them just to try and get somebody in place so that the recruits on Wednesday can know who they're dealing with. The good news is we do have a second signing period in February. This early period is only 3 days long. It'll open Wednesday. It will close Friday. And so if people are uncertain, they've got another window that they can wait and sign in February if that would make them more comfortable.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Okay, Joey, Shannon, and then Brett Behrens. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, Josh, are there any assistant coaches who were on staff last week who won't coach this Saturday at Penn State?
Fair question. Miles Smith will not coach in the game on Saturday.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay. Go ahead, Shannon, and then Brett Behrens.
Okay. Hi, Josh. Just wondering, you know, overall with the importance of this hire, bringing stability to the program, there's been, you know, through the last 10, 12 years, a lot of turnover there and trying to find the right person preceding you, but how important is it to get this one right for the program's longevity?
I wouldn't say it's any more important than it ever is. Certainly having stability and longevity in the football program at any Power Five school, I think is really a critical component to its long-term success. And so I don't think that the stakes are any higher today than they ever are when you're in a position to go out and find a head football coach. But certainly that is the objective. I mean, we need to find somebody who can be a program builder, somebody who can build long-term sustained success. I think that's one of the things that's a little bit interesting about the University of Illinois is that we're every once in a while we jump to the top and we're just not able to capitalize on that success, whether it's to the Sugar Bowl or to the Rose Bowl. And I think we have to find a way to not just get to the top, but build our way there incrementally, systematically, so that when we arrive, we have a strong foundation under us that allows us to capitalize on that success and even accelerate past it. And that really does only come through stability, longevity. And so that is certainly the goal as we head into this search process.
Okay, Brett Behrens, and then Matt Fortuna on deck. Go ahead, Brett.
Josh, how much did financial implications truly weigh into this with a budget that is already going to be in the red? Did you use private funds for this as a donor, or was this just come out of the general fund for you?
No private funds. We'll fund this through the athletic program. It is a challenging year, and that's been well documented. But again, we felt like given some of the contractual related items, both with Lovey and some of the assistants, that it seemed like either we could make the move now and endure a relatively modest short-term financial hit, or we could make a recommitment with ever more numbers of university resources and potentially put us at a greater risk with more exposure down the road. And just didn't feel as a steward of our resources and as someone who's responsible to the university for how we choose to use them, it was the right time to make this decision. And financially, I think it actually is the smarter of the two options.
Okay, Matt Fortuna, go ahead.
Hey, Josh, thanks for doing this. So to go back to that first question for a bit, how important is it going to be for the new coach to tap into the local talent here and to make University of Illinois a place that high school football players around the state grow up, want to play for, want to be a part of? And then just to follow up on something you said in your statement, just to clarify, when you said you made this decision after the Iowa game, was that communicated to Coach Smith going into yesterday's game, or do you keep that to yourself?
Yeah, so first question, I think it's incredibly important. I think every flagship university in any state understands the importance of being the marquee destination, the destination of choice for players of talent in their state in any sport, and certainly ever more so in football. And so it will be critical for us to connect well with the state high school coaches. It'll be important for us to work to make the University of Illinois an attractive destination for their players, and to really open those lines of communication and make them feel comfortable and welcome here in Champaign-Urbana and around the University of Illinois football program. So that will be certainly high on the list, I think, of priorities for the new coach when they onboard. In terms of the decision, I reached the decision over the course of last week. I did not discuss it with Coach until this morning. When you make these decisions, there's obviously the making of the decision and there's the implementation process, and that comes with a lot of planning and timing. I didn't think it was fair. By the time we felt that we were at a point to discuss it with Coach, it was in the days right before the Northwestern game. Didn't think that was fair or appropriate, and so wanted to wait until after that game was behind us and try and give the team as much time as possible, in this case a week, before their final game to adjust to the changes and handle it in the best way possible.
Okay, we'll go with Matt Stevens, then Scott Beatty, and then Bob Rosenthal. Go ahead, Matt.
Josh, my question is about the search that you're about to undertake. It would be naive to suggest that there won't be coaches, candidates out there that have red flags, whether they're on the field or off the field. My question is that, do you feel like the university, your athletic department, is in a position where you don't have to compromise certain things for, you know, red flags that you might find on a coach's resume or in his past when going through this search? And if I could get some details on how you might approach that kind of situation where you have to investigate a coach's background as you go through this?
There's a lot in that question. I think the short answer to that question is no, we don't need to compromise. We have the highest standards for integrity here at the University of Illinois. And there are a lot of really qualified football coaches out there who I think would walk over broken glass for the chance to coach at the University of Illinois. Our job is to identify them, to recruit them, and to select among them. And I don't think that we're at a point with our program where the candidate pool is so limited that we'll have to make those kinds of sacrifice or choices where we're picking somebody with some exceptional warts. Just because maybe, quote unquote, they're the best we can get, you know, that's just not going to be our approach. And so, I appreciate the nature of the question, but, I feel strongly that, you know, we can find ample number of people who will fit the bill for us that don't come with some of the off the field issues that just aren't in line with who we are as a university.
Okay, Scott Beatty, then Bob Rosenthal. Go ahead, Scott.
Josh, do you have expectations for the next coach for style of play, be it schemes, be it what they run, or how they'll structure their staff, anything like that? Or are you open to whatever may materialize?
I don't. I want to win. I want somebody who's going to come in here and win football games, do it with integrity, and do it for a long time. And whether they do that with whatever their offensive scheme is or their defensive scheme, whatever their staff might look like, as long as we're building the program, giving our fans, our alumni, our university something that they can be proud of, that they can be excited about, those stylistic questions really aren't as relevant to me. And especially in a Power Five football program, you have your head football coach, and then a lot of those stylistic questions are ultimately going to be left to the coordinators. And so they're going to go out and find coordinators who they think fit the style that they would like to bring onto the field. And so, ultimately, whether somebody's been a defensive coach or an offensive coach, whether they've whether they want to stand in as the coordinators or not, I mean, those are things that I'll talk to them about, certainly. But my approach has always been to be pretty hands-off when it comes to staffing. I'm going to talk to coaches about off the field qualities, certainly any integrity issues to the last question or things that are going to come across my desk. I've always felt like my job is to ask hard questions, to bring ideas, to push back. But ultimately, we're going to give these coaches a lot of deference to bring on people who they think are the right fit and the right people at this moment to help move the program forward.
Okay, we have time for a couple more questions. Go ahead, Bob Rosenthal. Gavin's on deck. Go ahead.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned how this was a year of possibly either looking at an extension or possibly a firing. Was there a benchmark that you were facing with this year, given you know, what it would have taken to give an extension, or was there a number of wins? You said you made this after Iowa. Was there a total of wins that you wanted to see before making this move?
There wasn't. Like I said, I think that you know, the results on the scoreboard, although they're always important, you're trying to look more deeply into the program and understand what's causing those results. And certainly every situation is different, but we all recognize that when a coach is new to a place, you're going to give a little more latitude to for them to develop their own process. And early on, that process may not yield immediate results at some point. However, the needle kind of flips to the other side, and those results ultimately speak to the quality of the process. And I think, and it's hard to say, there's no bright line that says, okay, in year three, you're still on the process side, and in year four, you're on the results side. Somewhere along the spectrum, however, that does flip. And I think certainly by year five, we were into that results component of the equation. I would say too, that even if there were any general ideas about, hey, we'd like to win this number of games or do this or do that during the season, once the pandemic really took hold, any of those ideas in terms of objective kinds of measurements really went out the window, and it became a much more subjective evaluation than it had to be. Just again, the reality of trying to evaluate a football program in the midst of the health crisis we're in right now. And so that part has been a challenge. But again, feel that we've reached the right outcome.
Okay, we'll go Gavin and Bob, and that maybe wrap it up for the day. Go ahead, Gavin.
Hey, Josh, you've mentioned the tough circumstances with the pandemic. The players going through this right now, it must be really tough for them, obviously. You know, Chase Brown mentioned yesterday that there's been some pandemic fatigue among the players. What are these conversations between you and them like as they get ready to play a football game next week without their coach and still in these really tough circumstances?
Yeah, it's an incredible group of guys, and I just can't say enough good things about them. I doubt many people realize the sacrifice and the time that's gone into just putting them in a position to even be on the field this year, and the fact that they're being tested every morning at 6 a.m., 7 days a week. The fact that they're sometimes undergoing two, even three, even four tests in a single day, depending on the day and what we might have coming up in terms of a competition that weekend. The way that they've been moved around because of maybe players being removed for isolation or quarantine, and they're playing a lot of different positions, they're having to learn things on the fly. It has really been an incredible team effort, the way that they have collaboratively and collectively come together to continue to represent this university. And so I think part of the message to them has been, look, you've come this far. You've worked so hard. Let's see it through to its finish. We have one game remaining. We just learned this morning who the opponent would be, where it would be played, and a great opportunity to go play a good Penn State football team, to go into Happy Valley, a place we haven't been in a long, long time, and try and finish this thing off on the right note. After all you put into it, let's put just a little more and see it through to its conclusion. We're fortunate here because we do have such an experienced, strong group of senior leaders on the team. They've been through an awful lot. I've been through an awful lot with them. And so it's, I think, given us some perspective and great confidence in their ability to keep the guys together and keep them focused forward as we work through this last week and then into the offseason.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, Bob, go ahead, and this will be the last question. Go ahead, Bob.
Josh, you're going to hopefully get fans back at the stands next year. How important is in making this hire is going to be a coach that kind of rallied the troops, a guy that will go out and meet all the fans and be omnipresent in the community and in the states for next year and going forward?
That's always a part of the conversation. Certainly, you want somebody. I always feel like you start internal to the building, and then you sort of move in circles out from there. And so, you know, of course, our first priorities are going to be coaching acumen, is going to be the ability to relate to our student athletes, to build energy within the football program, to recruit and identify a great coaching staff. Then you work outward from that to recruiting. And then out into the community and to our ticket holders, our donors. And it's one of the challenges. Certainly, I experienced that in my position, but the head football coach does as well, all the different hats that he has to wear and the different constituencies who are involved in supporting and providing for a football program at this level. We have a very robust, energized, active group of alumni. Again, very proud to be a part of them, and that's another group that I think will be excited to visit with our new coach, and so we'll certainly evaluate on that front along with many others as we work through this process and as we onboard the new coach. Connecting with our community on a number of different fronts will be an important piece of that early to-do list.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Appreciate your time.